We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. One of the most treasured traditions that we celebrate each January is the Martin Luther King Jr. Banquet that CEA sponsors. This annual event honors individuals who have been so important to our community and to our school district. Now, tonight on Teacher Talk, we'll learn what outstanding personality will be the keynote speaker and which individuals will be honored. We're fortunate to have with us today Rhonda Johnson, CEA President, who will tell us about this year's banquet. Welcome back to Teacher Talk, Rhonda.
Thank you, Sue.
Well, I'm looking forward to the holiday season and to New Year's and, of course, to the Martin Luther King Jr. Banquet. It's always just such a special, special occasion, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to it, too.
Yeah, I know. How many years has this been going on now?
This will be the 34th year.
Wow. Now, it's going to be held on Thursday, January 17th at the Hyatt Regency. So tell me about the history of this event and who organizes it.
Well, it's organized by the Minority Involvement Program Committee of the Columbus Education Association. Started 34 years ago when my predecessor, John Grossman, was president. So it goes way back. And we've had some dynamic chairs of the MIP committee, including myself and Dorothy Wilson.
And you are dynamic and Dorothy, wonderful.
And Dorothy Wilson and Kenya Davis is now the chairwoman of the MIP committee program. And the MIP committee is a way of getting more minority teachers involved in union activity. So it's kind of a starting point for them and kind of a grassroots type organization. And so they are responsible for putting on this dinner.
Well, why did the Columbus Education Association decide 34 years ago to put on this dinner in the name of and honoring Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, quite frankly, no one in the city at that time was honoring Dr. King for his legacy and the work that he's done, especially around education and making sure that, you know, all children receive a great education. And so I think it was the brainchild of John Grossman that we should be celebrating his legacy 34 years ago. This is the oldest event in the city to celebrate the legacy of Dr. King.
Wow, that's amazing. And I guess I feel kind of proud that it's our teachers union that took this on so many years ago. When we think of Dr. King's legacy to education, what are some of the things that we might be referring to? I mean, I know that every child has heard or seen the I Have a Dream speech. What does that mean to education?
Well, you know, I was a student during that time. When he was assassinated, I was in the eighth grade. And I think about the schooling that I had in the state of Alabama, in Tuscumbia, Alabama, and schools were still segregated at that time. And not only were they just segregated, but also the students in the black schools did not have the same materials or
separate
resources.
Separate but not equal.
They were separate but not equal. And so that was his dream, to make sure that all children, regardless of color or regardless of whether they're poor, that had an equal education. And so he worked very hard to make sure that that happened, even though we have Brown versus the Board of Education back in 1954. It did not change a lot of things for poor black children in the South.
Right, right. Wow. Well, what a legacy he left for us. And here you are today, and you are president of the Columbus Education Association and a longtime educator with the Columbus City Schools. And certainly we can see his legacy in you yourself and many of our teachers and students in this district. Well, now, Rhonda, you've had an illustrious roster of guest speakers, and last year it was Reverend Jesse Jackson, which how did you ever land him? Who are some of the other notable speakers who've appeared in the past? Because I know you've had so many. I know, right before him was Al Sharpton, right?
Al Sharpton, and what a dynamic person. I wish everyone could have been there to hear him. He had not one note when he was speaking, and he spoke to us for 30 to 45 minutes. It was just so, so inspirational, and we really enjoyed Al Sharpton. You know, the funny thing about it, when you see him on TV, you think of this big persona, and he's actually quite a small man.
Well, you know, I saw him quite a bit on television during the recent campaigning. And, of course, in the last number of years, he's lost a lot of weight, it seems. I kind of thought that maybe he is physically not such a big person anymore.
No, he's not.
But he's certainly with his,
very powerful,
his own work, he's a very big person.
And so we were very fortunate to get Al Sharpton for our King dinner. Mm-hmm. I think he was one of the best speakers we've ever had. But, you know, the list goes on and, you know... I can't remember all the speakers we've had, but every year they've been dynamic. And our speaker this year is Michael Eric Dyson. And for those of us who are MSNBC, you know, junkies, mm-hmm. political junkies, you know that he is on the Ed Show often as giving commentary. And then sometimes he hosts the Ed Show when Ed Schultz is not there. But he's written books about the legacy of Dr. King.
He's a professor.
He's a professor. He's an ordained pastor. Just a dynamic person as well. And I am excited that he is going to join us as the speaker. And when he's there, he's going to do book signings. And so the people who attend will have an opportunity to purchase his book and get it signed by him.
Now, he's also a radio host, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He does a talk show, but he also does talk TV, just a wide variety.
Where did he come from? I mean, what do we know anything about his, what's his background? Sometimes all of a sudden you start seeing these people on television and you go, okay, where did he come from? I you know, this guy's fascinating.
Well, he is absolutely fascinating, and I don't have his information uh-huh. in front of me, but he is absolutely fascinating. But you know, he's been a professor. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, most of the people who we've honored, they've been educators at one point or another,
right.
or very
right.
interested in education.
That's terrific. Well, I'm sure that he's going to do a great job as a keynote speaker. And just one last. I guess, note about keynote speakers. As I mentioned last year, you had Reverend Jesse Jackson. Had you met him before, Rhonda?
I met Reverend Jesse Jackson actually in 1976 when he was a convocation type speaker uh-huh. when I was a student at Alabama A&M University.
Wow.
Of course, he
did. He remember you?
I don't think so, you know. He did. He went on a lot of campuses talking mm-hmm. to students, a lot of the HBCUs. Mm-hmm. And so I met him in 1976. But you know, he's in Ohio a lot. I was at an Ohio 8 meeting, and he happened to be in town. And he joined us at our Ohio 8 meeting. That's the meeting of the union presidents and superintendents of the Urban 8 school district. So he's in the state quite a bit. And he's also in the state to give testimony to the mm-hmm. legislature. So he's quite active, still looks great, mm-hmm. Still gives a great speech, still very inspiring.
You know, and he's a person from all of our history books. I mean, that's what's amazing to me. I mean, he's been on the forefront of civil rights work, but not just civil rights work, all kinds of work involving people, you know, throughout this country and internationally as well. I mean, so that was wonderful. You had him last year. And I'm sure that Michael Eric Dyson will be a great follow-up to Reverend Jesse Jackson. His name may not be as familiar to as many people, but I know that with his background, he's going to give a dynamic keynote speech for
I'm
us.
I'm looking forward to that.
Right. Now, Rhonda, what type of person does CEA usually choose as the recipient of the Dr. Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award? Because this is the big award. I mean, this is, you know, the name of this banquet, the Martin Luther King banquet. So what about this humanitarian award? What kind of person are you looking for?
Well,
is it always somebody who's Ohio?
Well, it's always someone from Columbus, actually. We honor those in our own community who has espoused the ideals of Dr. King and has worked to continue his legacy around equal opportunity and housing and employment and those kinds of things. So we take nominations from the community at large. Mm-hmm. Anyone in the community can recommend a person for us to award. And so this year we were very pleased to have Napoleon Bell Sr. Napoleon Bell II, of course, you know, is here a resident in Columbus and works for the city of Columbus. And his father had moved away for a while, and now he's back in Columbus. We're honoring Napoleon Bell. We're very excited about that.
Well, before you go on with that, Rhonda, I want to just, you know, talk about, you know, the kind of person then that you're looking for, and apparently Napoleon Bell Sr. is going to be that kind of person. What are some of the accomplishments or qualities that are considered? Now, you mentioned maybe working for housing or working for different
right.
things. But, you know, what in particular makes one person stand out above another, perhaps, when it comes to this award?
Well, there is a nomination process.
And, oh, okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
and we ask for the accomplishments that a person has made to the community. Mm-hmm. And so we look at the work that they've done in the Columbus community at large, not necessarily in Ohio or across the United States, but how has that person made a contribution to the city of Columbus?
Mm-hmm. And who were some of your past winners?
Oh, my. I'll have to say, because these are two people we lost just recently, and that's Judge Duncan.
Right.
And also Dr. David Hamler, Loretta Hurd, Barbie Durham, Cliff Tyree. The list just goes on and on. Jerry Hammond, Joyce Beatty, Charlita Tavares, Janet Jackson, Ray Miller. But these are people, you know, these are people who are well known in our community, people who work very hard and really have ask for very little. Mm-hmm. People who do this work not because they're expecting recognition, but because they do care about the children and the citizens of Columbus. We've honored our own mayor, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact. But the list is very long. We have more than 34 people on the list, because there were a couple years where
we
had two winners last
right.
year, and we could not say one was better over the other one. So we decided to honor two. And that last year was Priscilla Tyson, who's a councilwoman, and Reverend Dale Snyder, who's a pastor at Bethel AME Church, who did a lot of work with us on Senate Bill 5.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it wonderful that we have such a wealth of individuals in our community who are community-minded and, in some cases, education-minded, and who are out there trying to, you know, help the community itself, the larger number of people themselves. Well, now, you started to tell us about Napoleon Bell Sr., and he's a retired attorney, we
yes.
know that, and I believe he's also done some work with mortgage loans for African Americans. So how does that, what exactly are we talking about here? What has he done? And are we talking about going back to those days of...
When it wasn't really that long ago.
Redlining, was that blue lining? It was... Okay, I might have my color wrong. I'm sorry, Rhonda, but right.
Well, you know, there was a time in Columbus that African Americans could not get a loan to buy a house
right.
in just any community.
Right.
There were certain communities where we could get loans. And so Napoleon Bell worked to help African Americans get loans to live in the Eastgate community.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do that, what he did was to set up his own self-funded mortgage finance company, so African Americans could get loans to live in places like Eastgate. Isn't that just amazing?
That is.
So that was kind of the beginning of his community involvement in Columbus, and then it expanded from there around housing and education. He worked with he was very interested in the desegregation plans mm-hmm. for the Columbus City Schools, and you know, Judge Duncan.
I was going to just say, you mentioned
Judge Duncan was the judge who made the court
right.
order for schools to be desegregated, and so he worked closely.
His wife was a teacher. Judge Duncan's
yes.
wife was a kindergarten teacher. She was my daughter's kindergarten teacher.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, we loved her.
And I think they still live she lives in the Old Orchard community. And his daughter was, at the time, was at Old Orchard as an elementary student. And there were actually threats against the school.
Oh,
but, you know,
I remember that.
He was not afraid. A very brave man. And Dr. Hamler, I believe, was the president of the Board of Education. So these three people's lives, you know, just connect mm-hmm. around that. And it takes us back to, you know, the days of DSEG, and then back to the anniversary of the Brown versus the Board of Education, and Judge Duncan and Napoleon Bell had a chance to celebrate that together, mm-hmm. and to represent us.
Wow, what a great man, and I'm sure that he will be, he's probably a humble man, because people like that tend to be. They're not thinking of themselves, that's for sure. They're thinking about how they can help the community and help their fellow man.
Well, when we interviewed his son, this is so, I just have to share this with you. We interviewed his son to say, tell us something about your father, and he said, you know, when I was young growing up, I really didn't understand what he did, but I know he gave a lot of speeches and he had a lot of plaques. So, you know, people who do that work, you know, they are very humble and really don't talk about it, but they get the job done.
And Napoleon Bell Sr., his son, also is continuing the tradition. He works with the community as well.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now, Rhonda, the Helen Jenkins Davis Award. This was introduced a few years ago. I remember when we first started talking about the banquet many years ago, and this award wasn't around.
That's right.
And then it was introduced, and I love this award. I really, really do. But I'm not going to tip my hand here. I'm going to let you do that. Please tell us about the namesake of this honor. I know I asked you this every year, but I love hearing this story of Helen Jenkins.
So this award started, we started on this in 2004, actually, when I became the president of the association. And we said, why aren't we honoring our own people?
That's right.
For work, our own teachers for work around social justice. And so we named it after the first African-American teacher hired in Columbus Public Schools. And her name is Helen Jenkins Davis. And she has relatives here here in Columbus, but fought for social justice and for many years only taught black children most of her career. And she worked for a very long time.
And but was that because the school was mainly, their population was mainly African-American
yes,
children?
Yes, and I think she was at Garfield Elementary School is where she
before
started.
Desag.
And so, yeah, it was way before desegregation.
Right.
And, you know, there were different rules for teachers at that time. I mean, even going back to, I guess, maybe the 60s, African-American high school certified teachers didn't work in high schools. They all worked at Champion Junior High. They were not hired to work in the high schools.
I did not know that.
Yes. So if you go back and you think about our colleagues who were administrators at the time and teachers, high school certified teachers, they worked in one of Franklin and Champion, but never in a high school. So Helen Jenkins Davis was the first witness in the desegregation case. So she has ties too also to Judge Duncan as well. So so she gave testimony about the learning conditions for children in some of the schools versus other schools.
Right, right. Wow. What a very special woman, and certainly an inspiration to many of us. Who are some of the past award winners of this Helen Jenkins Davis Award?
Dorothy Wilson is one. Kathy Nelson is another. Jimmy Beal is another. So we've had a wide array of teachers. Sandra Holly Waters Holly has been an honoree. So I'm not sure who I missed here, but I think I might have about all of them. We haven't been given that award out very long, so the list is much shorter than it is for the King Award.
Right. Well, now this year's winner is Sybil Brown.
Yes.
Sybil is an educator at Northland High School, but she goes way beyond her teaching duties. She tries to help students with scholarships. So tell me about this.
Well, actually, Sybil is a math teacher at Northland High School. But she's also the STEM club advisor. And so while STEM programs get a lot of attention now, Sybil Brown was doing STEM work way before we ever talked about the Lyndon STEM feeder pattern.
Can we just pause for a second here, Rhonda, and define STEM for our audience? Because you and I know what it is, because it is like one of the biggest things on the education horizon. But
science, technology, engineering, and math. And
that's
so
right.
We have a metro school devoted to STEM, the Lyndon McKinley feeder pattern, and now the West High School feeder pattern is involved in this. But Sybil has been doing this work for years before anyone ever thought of it. She was teaching was not her first career.
Hmm.
Her first career was in engineering.
Right.
And so she decided that she wanted to teach. And she was the first African-American woman to get a PhD in math.
You're kidding. Here in Ohio.
At the Ohio State
University. At the Ohio State University.
At the Ohio State University, the first one. And so we are so fortunate to have her. And I think if I'd had this teacher, I think I would have done a lot better in geometry.
Oh, anybody could have helped me with geometry.
But here's the thing, though. Her students, she inspires them. And then they want to go to college. And even if there's no one in their family who's been to college, she can inspire them. I mean, just to have a student talk about, I want to go to college, mm-hmm. is a big deal for our students.
Right.
And so she inspires them. And not only that, her students win this prestigious Gates Millennium Scholarship. And there are very few that are given in the whole state. And Northland High School has more than any in the state. They've had, I think, as many as 4 winners in 1 year, and there might be 25 in the state.
I was going to say, I think this last year was the year that they had 4 winners, because I remember on Teacher Talk, we mentioned that one time about the Gates Millennium Scholarship winners, and considering the amount for the entire state, Columbus really, really did a great job of racking up scholarships.
Yes. And Northland High School is notorious. Due in a great part to Sybil Brown and the counselors at Northland High School.
Wow, that is terrific. Well, what a wonderful honoree. And I know that we're all going to be inspired by her. How is that particular award determined? Is this, again, by nomination?
This is also by nomination. And she was nominated by a colleague who had worked with her, who's also works in math and science. And so one of her colleagues nominated her. And she, when we went to give her the award, I handed her an invitation. I said, I have something for you. And she said, oh, what is this? I said, just open it. And she saw that we were honoring her. And she was so touched by that. And her students applauded. They didn't even know what the invitation said. But when they saw her beam, they just applauded in the classroom.
Wow, that's love. That's an inspirational teacher. Well, Rhonda, we've been talking a lot about the Martin Luther King Jr. Banquet. And I think we better give our listeners some details on this, because we are almost out of time. For those interested in attending this banquet, let's talk about time, place, cost, and how to get those tickets.
Okay, let me give you the phone number.
Sure.
Listeners can call the CEA office at 253-4731, and they can leave a message, and we will get the message so they can call anytime in the weekend during our winter break. The tickets are $30, tables of 8, $240, and I recommend that people make reservations quickly, because mm-hmm. we had a sellout crowd last year. It's a very popular banquet and just one of the best things that we do as a union, I believe.
I agree. Now, that's going to be on Thursday, January 17th at the Hyatt Regency. Rhonda's already mentioned the tickets are $30. You want to call the CEA office. And will you give us that number one more time, Rhonda?
The number is, I should say, area code 614-253-4731.
Well, Rhonda Johnson, I want to thank you very much for coming in and telling us all about the Martin Luther King Jr. Banquet, for telling us about the honorees, who I feel inspired just hearing about this. And certainly, it's always a pleasure having you on Teacher Talk. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful holiday, Rhonda.
I hope
that you enjoy your Christmas and as well as your New Year in all your travels. That also goes for our listeners. We hope that you have a very, very happy holiday, and we'll look forward to having you listen to Teacher Talk again in the new year. This concludes our program. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Miziak saying good night.